Hey, JB.
What's up?
Don't stop.
Keep pouring?
Keep pouring, my friend.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition here of The Last Drop. I am your godfather of whiskey. I'm JB.
I am the godfather of craft beer, Cody.
So I try to get this, I try to get this bottle open here, whatever, to pour my tequila. I will say, I haven't opened it since Thanksgiving week when I got the motherfucker or whatever, but opening that cork up a little bit there, that smelled nice. That aroma hit me right in the nose there.
Yeah, I've been drinking it intermittently since I got the bottle.
Intermittently, you know, that means, you know, every day for all the non-alcoholic
sure. drops out there, you
know. For all the drip drops out there, whatever, you know, for all the casual drinkers out
the
there.
The drippies.
Yeah. But if you're a well-known alcoholic, intermittently here on The Last Drop, that means every day. So Cody has a problem is what we get into here.
I think I just got that problem bestowed upon me out of nowhere, but sure. we'll roll with it.
Cody, you know you and your problems. I love hearing your problems, you know.
Oh now you love hearing. First it was like, don't tell me your problems.
Now you like
him. Okay.
You know what? I relate to your problems now because y'all relate to them.
Oh, now you see my trials and tribulations.
Yeah. Now you're drinking stuff. I don't give a fuck about your other. Now, when it comes to your mama, sister, baby, cousin, auntie, and shit like that, I don't give a fuck about none of them or none of that, okay? Now, when you got your drinking problems, though,
hey,
I'm there for you, bro.
I respect the priorities, my friend.
Hey, I'm there priorities. For you. When you get checked into rehab, dude, I'm going to be the first one there for you, baby, to get you the fuck up out of there to put a bottle in your hand.
I'm about to say, now you're going to hand me a bottle in rehab. You know how they do gel visits? They like sneak shit in. In a book or some shit like that.
It's going to be like that scene out of Pootie Tang or whatever when that Dirty D was like, you got the stuff, and he handed them that dirt rock or whatever and shit. I'm going to hand you that little miniature bottle or whatever and be like, yeah, and you're going to be just, you're not even going to drink it. You're just going to pour it in your eyes.
Yes. I'm that shit. It's so long.
I'm going to sneak up behind a tree and be like, yo, I'll give you a bottle if you give me your clothes real quick or whatever. Sure. Right. They're going to be like, Cody's progress ain't getting no better. I wonder why. And they're going to see me behind a tree.
Yeah.
Ruining this man's soul. Can't be the last drop without that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
You mean Cody not drinking? What the fuck?
This ain't the sober hour,
bitch. Oh, I got to change that right now. Right goddamn
now. So when it comes to that problem, Cody, yeah, I do care. Yeah.
See, JB is a caring guy.
Yeah. Because it relates to me. Yes. I need this Negro drunk, people. Okay, shit. Need him out of
correction.
His mind.
Okay? JB's a caring guy if it pertains to him.
Oh, you won $50? What about we win $50? Oh, just you? Well, then fuck you and that $50. But when it comes to the drinking, shit, I need Cody drunk and alcoholic as fuck, okay? The moment I hear him go sober is the moment I sneak in his bedroom and I inject a little IV of just... motherfucker gonna wake up drunk when I'm done with him. Okay. He gonna be sleep drunk. He can be shaking and shit in his sleep.
gotta go to the doctor and shit. Take a blood test. Comes out G4 positive. Like, what the fuck is that? I didn't even know that was possible.
Girlfriend's gonna get mad at him and be like, you told me you was off the stuff. And you be like, I swear I ain't touched it in a month. I don't know how.
Shit.
I don't know how it keeps getting in my bloodstream.
It wasn't me.
Man, old I JB.
Didn't do it.
Old JB behind the tree and whatever.
Just pulling the strings.
As I'm sitting on the porch with you, just be like, hey, man, sometimes you just got to get yourself together. I pass him a drink real quick. Get your life together now. Just drink up. Drink up. I see you at 3, by the way, tomorrow. So Cody will always remain a drunk. You ain't got nothing to worry about. I got that on lockdown. I got that checked out.
I can't escape that shit. Even if I wanted to. Even if I could try.
Listen, the doctor could say, drink one more, you'll die. He'd be like, he'll turn around and the IV would just be flat line. Just
let me fast track this for you real quick. Pull that shit out.
He's like, well, damn, I guess the doctor wasn't lying then. I guess it really was one more drink.
Remember that Dave Chappelle skit? I forgot what exactly happened. Remember, I forgot it was like a movie or something, or do a parodying or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. Remember he had some dude die in there.
Yeah.
It was like a long pause. He's like, that's gonna be me.
Dave Chappelle, one of the greatest comedic minds of our time, of me and Cody's time, at least. Whatever, absolutely. You know? Yeah. Well, people, it is tequila week here on The Last Drop. Nothing about Cody dying over one last drink. Although, if he got to die, I mean, shit. Hey.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, you could die from something else, you know? It's just like, you might as well just die from that last drink.
That's how I'll do it, yeah.
If you had one drink left in your system, what would it be, sir?
That is a great question.
Man, I get asked that. It's like almost like, what's your favorite pour or whatever and shit? Because I get asked that so many goddamn times, whatever. I'm kind of tired of that question because it changes or whatever. But if you had one drink left in you, one drink, no matter the money, no matter whatever the fuck it'd be, whatever, one drink left, what would it be, Cody?
I got to go with Double Barrel Bourbon County.
Oh, shit. You know what? It is 316 day here on The Last Drop, whatever. It is.
Oh, shit, it is.
Yeah. And as Stone Cold once said, you could, what did he say? You could save your palms for Sunday reading or whatever or something like that. They say, what was it? John 3:16 said, sing your palms, whatever shit. Well, Austin 3:16 says, I just whooped your ass. I fucked that promo all up, whatever people, but that is the funniest shit ever. Yeah. Whatever the Bible said, it says something 3:16 or whatever.
Yeah, I'm kind of mad too. I just saw that he randomly pulled up to El Segundo Brewing like 2 days ago.
That is the second time you done missed his ass now.
Like, God damn it.
I need you to quote that promo to him.
Son of a bitch. Man, I've been waiting to run into that motherfucker. Man.
I feel like you had went there last year and then he showed up the next day or
something. Like, yep. Yeah. Something like that, yeah. You just keep missing each other.
Damn. It's just not meant to be then, I guess, huh?
One day. One day me and the rattlesnake himself will pour out, push back a couple of cold ones.
Dude, if you could just get two cans, crack them bitches open, and just drain down them like that. Now, granted, he never touched them or whatever, because they by the time he crashed them together, all the beer that flew out of it now.
So he's crushing shit. He's crushing suds at that point.
Without a shadow of a doubt, you ain't got what it takes anymore. There and you thump your Bible and you say your prayers and it didn't get you anywhere.
I gotta tell you, you anti-Christian, this is a great promo.
I forgot how good he was on the mic.
You imagine someone tried, hey Cody, would you like to learn about the Lord today? You sit there with your Bible.
You sit there. Go to a Stone Cold rant.
Sweating and shit. You sit there and you read your palms. You just and as you say, Cody 3:16 says, "I just whipped your ass." That's when you close the door. goddamn door.
Talk about your Psalms. Talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says, "I just whipped your ass."
Whipped your ass. Yep. Classic.
I love how the interview. Oh, hold on now. That's not necessary. Oh, hold on now. Wait a minute. Hold on. That's not necessary. Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. What did John 3:16 ever do to you? Come on now. I mean, I would love, if he's ever there, I would love to ask him about that and just like, you're not even a religious dude. How'd you even know that quote? Like, did you just make that shit up in your head? Or like, what?
Let's go by, man. Thunderbird, and try to dig back some of that courage he had in his prime. As the king of the ring, I'm serving notice to every one of the WWF superstars. I don't give a damn what they are. They're all on the list, and that's Stone Cold's list, and I'm fixing to start running through all of them. As far as this championship match is considered, son, I don't give a damn if it's Davey Boy Smith or Shawn Michaels. Steve Austin's time has come. And when I get the shots, you're looking at the next WWF champion. And
you know what's crazy about his promo? He got I can't turn it off now, but he got this look in his eyes. Like, that motherfucker is crazy. Like this that look in his eyes.
I'm telling you. Yeah, presence-wise, oh, yeah, that's when he's coming to his prime, too. Yeah. That was, like, just at the start of his prime.
Yeah, because he wasn't shit before this. And I think even after this promo, a lot of people think that, like, oh, his superstardom took off. It took, actually, a while even after this promo, whatever. It was, like, a month or two, whatever, before.
No, this is just the first, like, real building block. Like that character, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Dude, if you told me he was a grandmaster of a Ku Klux Klan, I'd be like...
I mean, yeah. He did play a racist in an Adam Sandler movie.
That is true. I mean, look at this motherfucker. I would not want to run in this motherfucker. No. If he was your doctor, Cody, and told you, have another drink, motherfucker, and I'll tell you what, you'll die. Actually, there's a funny-ass skit that keeps popping up on my timeline. I don't even know why. I guess he took over the WWF company or whatever in a storyline or whatever. And he shows up in his fucking ring gear to the headquarters and shit. Mm-hmm. And there's three ladies waiting there. And they're like, hi, Mr. Austin. Is there anything I can get you? He's like, oof. I bought a beer. I'll take that. The next lady was like, do you want anything to eat or anything to go like that? And he's just like, well, I am feeling kind of famished. I'll have another beer. And then the third lady was just like, can I get you anything? Because there's a meeting that's coming up, whatever. And he's just like, oh, I got to do a lot of thinking about that. I'll tell you what, bring me three more beers. It just like wraps up. And I'm just like, I said, I don't even remember this segment or whatever, but I was like, I got to find the whole segment because I was like, that's just probably funny as hell. Whatever.
That's epic.
Yeah, he'd make a great boss, you know?
Yeah.
Drink my beer, Cody. I mean, you'd make a great product test for him.
Actually, yeah. Yeah, I'll take that job. Shit.
Yeah, he'd be like, you'd be like, you drinking beer, Cody, or I'm going to whoop your ass right now. You'd be like, you didn't even have to tell me.
But okay. Yep. You got it, Mr. Austin. All righty. I will drink away.
If I'm not mistaken, the Broken Skull Ranch, as he calls it, is in Vegas, the Vegas area, too. So he's not that far from you, Cody, to you to go steal his shit.
No, he's not.
I don't mean steal, because he might put a bullet in your ass. I haven't seen it in my eyes or whatever and shit. But
I was going to say, yeah, or step a mud hole in my ass.
Yeah. You don't want that. You don't want that at all. But JB316 says, what are we drinking here? And we drinking a little bit as we announced.
What are we drinking today, sir?
We drinking that G4 goodness of the G4 Añejo, the hardest goddamn G4 bottle.
Añejo.
The hardest goddamn
The most difficult bottle. Fucking bottle to got, man. We're going to touch on that in a little bit.
Yeah, because I got to tell you, when it comes to difficultiness, and I'll just compare it to whiskey. When it comes to like hard to find bottles, or whatever and stuff, you got to be really good, or whatever and shit. You can't just be okay, because that affects a rating for me. Whatever. If I gotta go, I mean, damn. When did we first sip G4? It had to have been 2 years ago, maybe.
Damn, at least 2 years.
2 years ago. Never even thought about the Añejo until at least early last year, and just like, where the fuck is that at? I see the Reposado. I see the Blanco. I see all these extra. Where is that at? And you see, like, this color, this little brown label, whatever. You're like, I know it exists. I've seen the picture of it or whatever. And then you start hearing stories like, oh, they only make limited barrels of it. They don't usually make enough of it. Whatever the hell it may be the case or whatever. So it finally started hitting, I think, California, Texas, and Florida. Like, a few of the major markets, if you will. I got mine in Thanksgiving Day, actually. Yeah, I got mine Thanksgiving Day. I remember telling Cody, like, because most places in our area was selling it for, like, what was the ridiculous ass price you saw, Cody? Maybe like $149 or some shit like that.
It's like $150, something like that.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, you could fuck off with that. I mean, I could get I could get two high proofs Blanco G4s, whatever, and it wouldn't cost that. So no. Finally found mine for $80 or $75, whatever it was going to be. $80.
Yep.
Rushed over there right away to go get it. Maybe January of this year, I believe. I sent Cody the link to K&L to grab his.
Yeah, got that shit immediately. Wasted no time.
And we finally both got it. As you can see, we've both been drinking on it. At least mine and Cody's, whatever we're drinking. I had mine with Thanksgiving dinner. I didn't really have much thoughts of it at the time. I just said, oh, that's a solid pour. I remember telling Jody, yeah, that's a solid good stuff right there.
I thought the same when I first, my first couple sips, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, yeah, this is good. That's about it. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
it. Yep.
I don't know if, it's funny because I think about the switch now for Reposados this year and switch to Añejos now. Because I know we here in the last drop, we get into that extra Añejo goodness or whatever and shit, you know. But I feel like we're going to probably be sipping more Añejos this year or whatever. And the more I sip on these Añejos, the more I go like, it's always missing something. It's always something that could just make
it. You know, better. Coming back to this, it's been a couple of weeks since I've had my last sip of this. I'm digging this quite a bit since the last time I've had it. I don't know if it grew on me or what, but I'm digging it a bit more. I do still have criticisms about it. Obviously, we'll get into that in the middle a little bit.
It's not bad. Like
No, I think it's really fucking good, actually.
It's really good. I just think that all the Añejos I've had, I've never had like a god awful. Well, I shouldn't say that. I probably had some god awful one or whatever. But like, this is not bad at all.
Nowhere near bad.
$70, great price. Yeah. I think anything over 80, honestly, is a fuck you.
You can kiss my ass.
Yeah,
I slay $99.99, I'm like, no, fuck off.
Yeah, I've seen that price like on shells. Like, remember the one I sent you when I went to go get my Thomas Handy? Mm-hmm. That shit was $159 or whatever.
Oh fuck yeah, you can kiss my butt.
Yeah, and you was just like, yeah, fuck that price, because they had the extra Añejo, right, the 3-year-old next to it for like $200, and I was like, man, I should pull the trigger on that shit because that bottle ain't even in production no more or whatever.
Right.
Even $200 is crazy because I think that bottle originally went for $150, so I guess whatever. But I just remember the Añejo next to it was just sitting there like at $159. I was just like, who the fuck would pay that?
we were talking about just now, that's $79.99. Perfect.
I think honestly too, it would have to get into desperation of paying that $150. Like I'd be like,
absolute desperation.
If this bottle, like this release, this latest release of Añejos that dropped or whatever, if that never happened, and like you just never saw this motherfucker, and let's just say I went to this store to get my Thomas Handy, and I saw that sitting there for $150, I would second guess it. I'm not gonna lie. Now that's before I tried it, obviously, whatever. I'm just sitting there, just looking at it, going like, man, I ain't seen this bitch nowhere else. This is the first time I've seen it. I'd be texting Cody. I think I'm about to pull the trigger on it. And then getting it home and sipping it, I'd be like, you son of a bitch. Like, you son of a bitch. You got me. Because I can say this right now. G4 Madeira, the brown label, whatever, I'd pay $100 for that all day, every day. I mean,
man, honestly. We went to this restaurant in Saltell near Century City called Hermanito. And I got a...
Oh, that's funny. I was just there.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I was just there on a Tuesday.
No shit.
Yeah.
Oh, no shit. Yeah, we were there Friday night, I think. Yeah, Friday night.
Uh-huh.
We were there.
Good little spot.
They got a pretty good tequila list. Yeah,
yeah, they got a little tequila spot, yeah. Got some good wine there, too.
Yeah, I noticed. Yeah, yeah. And, bro, I was just throwing back that. Obviously, they have Blanco de Madero, G4, there. Yeah. I was just throwing that shit back, bro. I love that fucking pour so much. So fucking much.
I said it in the review, dude. That bottle was a steal. It's only $60, $65, $69 at the most, or whatever. If they was to sell that originally for $129, I wouldn't even question it. That's how good I like it.
Mm-hmm.
This, if I would have paid $159 for and then opened it or whatever, I'd have been kind of pissed off. I think my my review would have been like, ew, very.
Yeah, no, we're on the same page on that one.
Yeah. Because the G4 high proofs, I'm telling you, they could charge as much as they want for it. Well, I shouldn't say as much, whatever. Anywhere in the $100 range, from $100 to $150, I would easily pay it just because that's how great it is, whatever. I mean, they made the top 10 list on both star lists, so that tells you right there, whatever. This G4 Añejo, honestly, it should be $50. Honestly, on the nose, I got to tell you, though, I like that nose. That nose is good.
Nose is good. You know, a lot of that cooked agave, I get a little bit of black pepper.
You get that G4-ness in it, you know? G4 we reviewed here. A little
citrusy.
Mm-hmm. That cinnamon comes out in it as well.
Very citrusy.
Yeah. This citrusy.
Yeah, it smells ugly. Amazing. Yeah, it smells,
got like that orange peel cocktail smell.
Orange
to
peel,
it.
Yep.
You get that little bit of hints of the vanilla and caramel too on that barrel there.
Hmm. Interesting. I don't really get that much on the nose per se. That'll get on the palate, but
yeah.
The nose, I'm not really getting that. Interesting.
It has that G4 mineralness to it too, as well.
That's minerality,
like,
yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. That G4 is, that's like the staple of, I shouldn't say the staple of their original pours. Me and Cody kind of texted about this last week. Like, because you don't, you get it, but you don't get it as much as in their specialty releases and stuff like that. But that Reposado, Blanco, and this Añejo, it's like the most potent thing about the G4 nose sense here, or whatever. And we'll talk about that in a little bit too, because, their original lineup is like, you know, for new tequila drinkers, go at it. I think you would actually, I don't even know, to be honest. I think some new tequila drinkers might think of, like, if you're like a whiskey or a beer guy, you might think of it and just say, oh, it tastes like tequila. I don't know.
Maybe. Everybody's palate is different, so that might
hurt. So I actually don't know, because the more I think about it, the more I just go like, I don't really want these bottles. Just kidding.
Nah.
So, like, the more I was telling Cody they had two of these left on the shelf, I was thinking of buying both of these. I'm glad I only got one. I'd be pissed if I bought two.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
I'd be like, yo.
Yeah.
Unless I could sell that motherfucker for double the price, then yeah, I'd be very happy. But other than that, I'd be pissed if I had two of those sitting on the shelf right now, whatever. I'm glad with the regular lineup of G4, I've only bought one bottle of each. That Reposado, that Blanco, mm-hmm. and that fucking Añejo.
Oh, yeah, same here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very grateful for that.
Because the Madeira and the shit, even the XM high proof, I got two of those. The Madeira, I got like three bottles of those. And the other high proof, I got two of those. So, like, stack me up on those all day, every day. This shit?
Yeah, dude. Like I said, this is good. Like, even the nose, I'm getting more of the, so it's getting my, like, wood character on it, too, on the nose.
I was gonna say, I get the wood note on that and on the palate too.
Yeah, I think that's very prominent, actually.
Yeah, it's part of that at least a little bit of aspect of that minerality-ness to it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, so. Honestly, I sipped it right now. It's good. It kind of comes off though as like your everyday Añejo.
Yeah, it's funny because I've been reading like other reviews on this pour.
What they saying?
And I see a lot of people, obviously it's highly rated, highly lauded after amongst the masses. But what puzzles me, at least from what I've experienced in my experience with G4 Añejo thus far, they always say it's super complex. And I just had the Blanco de Madeira 2 nights ago, and I've had plenty of that since I got the bottle and had those pours the other night. Even the regular high proof, obviously their Madeira, the Reposado Madeira.
Oh yeah,
I think all of those are heavily more complex than this pour right here. Like, there's good stuff going on in this. Don't get me wrong, but as far as like complexity, which you would expect from something like an Añejo, as compared to something like a Reposado or Blanco or even a fucking high proof. A variation of those varieties, I'm not getting the complexity I would expect from Añejo, or that
more
I
complexity
want.
Than this.
I you said what now?
Cabal Añejo has more complexity than this. I don't think any of G4's regular lineup has complexity. I know some people might look at that differently, but as far as I think me and Cody on the same path here is with our complexity list here or whatever. To me, this kind of just comes off as a standard Añejo. There's nothing like really sticking out of it that's going, shit, you got to buy this bottle right here.
Right. And
with those pours you just said, though, those bottles definitely. I've had from G4, from the extra Añejo, obviously that was like my number one best of the year, or number two, I should say, actually. And then like the ones you just listed off, man, even the Reposado, which I was like questioning, would I spend $300 on this bottle or whatever? Sipping it, the newer one we had or whatever, I'm like, well, man, I was like, this got some complexity to it. Like, it's something there that just adds. It made me change my response on Reposados.
Right. That form of complexity, it makes it exciting to drink it and you want to go in for more. Yeah. And you're interested to buy more potentially. You want to see what else they can do inside that range, that Blanco range, the Madeira cask and things of that nature. This right here, it's a good Añejo. It might be sacrilege for like big tequila heads.
We're not getting invited to this parties no more after this comment.
Yeah. Probably not. I will put this on the same level as like a El Tesoro, probably. Which is, it's not a knock. I'm just That's saying El Tesoro is good. They always get the job done. Well priced. Like this should be on that price
range. I was about to say, because El Tesoro though, that Añejo is like $60.
What, $50?
Yeah, $60. Oh, okay, whatever. Whatever the
That's fine, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing to me. Hey,
yeah, I think that one has better value. I think it's more flavor wise. Yeah, you find that shit everywhere.
Yeah,
you find El Tesoro everywhere.
If you can't find that, then damn, move.
Yes,
I don't know what to tell you. Like, damn,
seriously,
or like you get the fuck out of that neighborhood because if you can't find that bottle, then that's like finding a bottle of Jack Daniels. If you can't find that, then damn.
Exactly. No, that's like finding a seltzer at Ralph's or some shit like that. You got no excuse.
Yeah. If you can't go to a Ralph's and find a bag of potato chips laying around, you need to move out that dry ass steak den or whatever, okay?
Get the fuck out. Do not look back.
Why would you even stick around that motherfucker? Like, yeah, why would you say, El Cerro Añejo, 65.
Okay, 65. Yeah.
Blanco, 35, and Reposado, 40. I'm 50, sorry.
Yeah.
The extra Añejo is $100.
Oh, okay.
You can't beat that. I mean, $100 for extra Añejo. That's
yeah, and especially I would love to try these side by side. I would love to do that. I might do that one day. Actually,
We should have an Añejo week where we just
that'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, comparison. Yeah, something to think about.
We should do a tequila month where first week is Blanco, second Reposados, and we'll get like three.
Hmm.
Each week or whatever, I do a side by side.
Not a bad idea.
Maybe that'll be something down the end of the year. We'll switch out with mezcal month.
Switch out a month. Yeah, absolutely.
I sip this dude, man. I'm on my second sip here. I like it. I don't want to show, like he said, it's good.
It's good. It's a good pour. Really good.
I kind of just don't care to sip on it though. It's not really doing much for me.
Yeah, it like I said, it's good. I like it. Would I buy this bottle again? No. At this price point,
would you think it's G4?
Points about the aroma does remind me of like quintessential G4. I will give it that. Taste wise, maybe not. Give or take, probably not. But aroma, definitely get G4 essence. My biggest knock against this one, though, man, as far as like what I would think, what I would want in my Añejo, at least in my head, I think like the black pepper, the bell pepper, like the vegetal notes, I think they overpower too much of the barrel character.
I was going to say, man, there's no barrel notes on this, really.
The nose, you get a ton of that wood, that oak, in the nose, you get a ton of that.
Yeah.
Palate-wise, not getting much of that at all.
No. I get more so in the palate is that agave and the pepper notes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The wood notes, like
you said, I do get
gone. It's not there.
Right. I do get kind of like this sweet character, like the butterscotchy cinnamon kind of thing going on. But I sort of like a barrel character.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really getting any of that, actually.
That barrel
which
character
is kind of
missing.
Frustrating. Yeah, it's kind of disappointing for me, at least. But that's what I would want in Añejo, especially since it's supposed to have more time in the barrel, it's supposed to have more characteristics of that, more so than just the nose, in my estimation.
See, that 70-year-old extra Añejo, dude, that shit is flavored with barrel notes on it. Yeah, I mean, it is just...
Yeah, and then, mild spoiler alert, I know we're doing Cabal Month coming up later this year. The new Reposado, boy... Dude,
the wood characters.
Oh my God, like incredible. That shit. Holy fuck. That's what I'm talking about.
I still need to go get the old Reposado, the horsehead one, so I could do a side by side that week. That I'm
man, because that new batch, holy shit.
That new batch.
Goddamn.
Yeah.
Killer.
Cabal is heavily underrated as a company.
Oh, yeah.
That company just.
And that's a fucking Reposado, mind you.
Yeah. The wood notes on that is like all over.
Yeah, that shit's crazy.
It's like that Pop Rocks candy. It just pops on your fucking tongue or whatever and shit. Like,
But that's some good shit right there.
I still don't know if some stores in our area has it yet, other than Cork or whatever. That's the only place I've seen.
That's the only place I've seen
it. Cork is the headquarters for Cabal.
It really is Cabal.
I can't find the shit nowhere else, to be honest. I don't even be looking for it. And I just be like, damn, where the Cabal? Where the horse heads at? Where the shit at and stuff like that. So you know, I hate to even say this or whatever. This one to me, it's just kind of boring.
It is, especially since we've tried so much tequila at this point. Better tequila, more exciting tequila. Mm-hmm. Tequila you wouldn't expect in the Blanco range. Like, oh man, this is so much flavor. This is so much complexity. And this is Añejo. This like has no excuse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In my estimation. What I think Añejo should be.
Well, it's funny because we kind of fit in that bias realm of you being a craft beer drinker and me being a whiskey drinker. We're in that barrel age realm of like, you're either going to like extra Añejos or in this case nowadays is Blancos, whatever. And I feel like me and you, that's where we kind of fall in line with our tequila more so now is extra Añejos and Blancos. Reposados, I think, are about to change the realm a little bit because
I think that's the trajectory. That's what it's looking like.
Yayo is doing amazing things. Lost Lore, obviously. That's often the same person too, Sergio. If that motherfucker makes a Reposado, you buy it. Sergio Cruz, man, he does Lost Lore and Yayo. Obviously, G4 makes solid Reposados. I think that world might switch it up a little bit, but I think the Añejos.
I think so.
The Añejos to me are kind of like, man, I could just get the extra
hit or miss. Yeah.
Yeah, because like I feel like they're missing what the extra Añejo has, and it's like, oh, I could just go to that route.
Yeah, and then you try quote unquote lesser varietals like the Reposado or the Blancos, and you go to this Añejo. It's like, what's the point of this? All these other varieties are better. I'm getting more from these other varieties, and I'm giving more value too because they're cheaper. So it's like,
I personally think Blancos are still better than Añejos.
Say less.
Yeah. I know that's probably like blasphemous to somebody out there going like, what about the color? Whatever.
Fuck your color.
We canceled DEI here on the last drop, babe. We don't give a fuck about your color, bitch. Yeah, okay.
That's stupid.
We don't give a fuck about your color here on the last drop, baby. Shoot, we only care about.
Give me the pill shit.
Yeah. Give me that white lives matter only, baby. Shit, clear eyes for the straight guy. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, give me some of that shit right there, whatever. But I don't know, Cody. Final thoughts?
Yeah. Like I said, I think I like it a bit more than what I had in previous weeks. But I do still hover around. I'm gonna give it the same rating still, because those are detractors. They still really do detract from me. Like, the flavor does not really follow the nose too much at all. And
it doesn't pop.
Yeah. It doesn't pop. Exactly. That's a great point. Great way to put it. Does not pop. And for me, at least, I'm grading on a curve with Añejos because I'm expecting wood. I'm expecting oak. I'm expecting.
You a beer guy? You should. Shit.
Yeah. That's what I want.
Yeah.
And I'm not really getting that in the palate. The nose, smells great. Nose, again, ton of wood nose.
Mm-hmm.
Palate-wise, not getting that. What I am getting, I do like. It tastes good, but I don't think it's enough to put this over the top to make this like a quintessential pour, make this one you have to seek out, especially one that's so hard to find. Like, and you have stuff that's comparable on the market that you can easily find.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is one. It's hard to recommend this.
Shit, even the Fortaleza Añejo is easier to find than this motherfucker.
Exactly, which is fucking insane.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right.
I kind of like that one more because it's got a little bit, at least.
I think I like that one a little more, too. Yeah.
Because the caramel.
Even that one, I'm not like.
Yeah, I'm not crazy on that one either or whatever, but like the caramel sticks out on it where it's like sweet on the finish or whatever, whereas this one, it doesn't have that neither. So it's like, that neither. The Fortaleza Añejo is like just really smooth and clean. Like it's just like, ooh, I can sip this daily. Mm. This one, I kind of like, I'd rather waste my liver on something else.
Yeah. I think as it stands, given the price point and the availability, how hard this is to find, and I really do got to take points off on the palate because that's the most important part of the drink for me at least. And I don't think it lives up to its potential in my estimation. So I'm gonna drop this with a 2.5. That's when we give this.
Spoken like a true godfather of craft beer there, sir, where he said
I think. Yep. Mm-hmm. I think it's good. Is this worth sinking out? No, at the price point and the availability of it. No, there's other comparable añejos on the market, which is just as good as this, maybe even better, mm-hmm. probably cheaper too.
Yeah.
And finally. Yeah, so this is very hard to give a high recommendation on the G4 Añejo, which sucks because I love me some G4. One of my favorite tequila distilleries, period. Love G4. Yeah. This is not one of my favorite pours from them. This is one of the lesser pours for me. Which is not even a bad slice. It's a 2.5. It's still a good rating.
Yeah. I mean? Actually, it might be my least favorite out of all of them now.
I overall, probably, given the value and the availability, probably.
Yeah.
2.5.
That's I even gave the Reposado, I gave that a 3 still, and I wasn't even crazy about it no more or whatever. But it's funny, Cody speaks like a true craft beer god over there or whatever, because as a whiskey god over here, I'm just going to say, like, the finish is really important to me too. And, I just kind of don't get really much with that finish neither.
From what I got a few, you just feel very uninspired.
Yeah, it's funny because we're thinking the same here, and yet we're so different because you've talked more palate, I'm talking more finish. Because we're coming from our worlds or whatever of drinking and stuff, so we just kind of and the finish to me is just kind of just dry and just an afterthought, which
I'm glad you're talking about that, Kat. Yeah, because I haven't paid much attention to the finish, but there's not a whole lot going on there.
No, it's just kind of an afterthought. It's just forgettable. Mm-hmm. It's just whatever and stuff. I'm with Cody. It was a bitch to find. Finally, I was chasing it for a long time. Cody knows whatever. I was asking people about it crazy.
Yeah, you were.
It's good. It's solid. It's okay. I just don't think since it's not on shelves, I'm not telling people to hunt for this. I'm glad I have it. No. Glad I got to try it. Glad I got to sip on it. And I'm glad I got to experience it. But honestly, the more I sip on it, the more I'm like, I'm ready to move on. And it's kind of like Lager de Thona for me, where I don't hate it. It's just like, it's just whatever, you know, it's just a forgettable thing here, whatever. I'm dropping a 2 on this.
That's very fair rating.
Yeah. I enjoyed everything about it. But there's some things that's just missing a lot to me or whatever. And I don't think it's worth the hunt on it. So I'm giving it a 2. Cody gives it a 2.5. We are less than a minute, so we're just going to go ahead and wrap it up, people. I am your godfather of whiskey. I'm JB.
I am the godfather of craft beer, Cody.
And like we always say, livers will never be the same.
Glasses will never be dry.